Thanks for listening to this OCRFM podcast. Head to ocrfm.org.au to find more great content and information about how to donate and support this community radio station.
On LOL Radio, it is time to chat to another of our upcoming Melbourne International Comedy Festival comedians and a good friend of the show. On the line, we have Damien Callinan. How's it going, sir?
Oh, I'm really well.
That is good to hear. You are the man of a thousand jobs at the moment. We will be talking about your upcoming Melbourne International Comedy Festival run. But before we do, you are still touring around a bit with Nuke at the moment. The story all about an Australian tennis legend.
Indeed. I'm quite sensibly, I'm starting to do about 8 shows all at once. Nuke I have done before.
Yes, yep.
But I've had to get the show back in my head, mm-hmm. in my bones, which is touring down west.
Yes,
I'll be coming, yep. So I was going to Cowes first, mm-hmm. And then circuitously to Port Fairy.
Yes.
And then a couple of shows in Warrnambool. And then a few more dates back in April, May. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, Nuke's interesting. It was written by Kieran Carroll, but co-devised by myself. So he wrote it as a 5-act play about John Newcombe. And was having trouble getting it up, so
yep.
I decided to turn into a solo show and turn to the solo show maestro.
Yes.
And see, what can we do? So there's a fair bit of me in it.
Yep.
But not my moustache, though. My moustache is fake. We did have a real one for the first iteration of the show, but Kieran didn't tell me in time to grow it. And Callinan's grow facial hair...
by the decade.
glacier.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, yeah, I needed 2 or 3 years.
Notice, preparation, yeah.
6 weeks. So what I had was poor, and there's actually a bit in the show, quite a bit in the show, that references his moustache. And there's a period where he kind of deliberately went about getting a moustache.
Yep.
Kind of thought, oh, you know, I reckon it's time.
Yep.
It was at 1970. So he went one Wimbledon, no moustache, to the next Wimbledon, a massive
party.
And by his own words, a droopy Mexican Zapata. And it kind of changed things really quickly. He became, you know, got endorsements. And he was listed on a thing called Man Watches Incorporated, the top 50 sexiest men alive, with Robert Redford and Burt Reynolds and... So I'm kind of on the stage, I'm, you know, talking up my moustache, and you know, this bloke just called out, I think it was the third night of the show, he said, well, mate, that one's shit. And we all agreed that it was, but, you know, so now we, I have a...
Fake it up.
Spirit gum.
Yep.
Spirit gum number. And happily so, I can get rid of it at the end of the night.
Put it back in the box.
It wasn't popular at home. Not popular at home, no.
They can very much divide a room, or a family in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
But so you're bringing your natural flair for storytelling to bring the John Newcombe story to life then?
Yeah. It's, I mean, the key to changing it from its original format was, when it's a solo show, it's a lot more direct storytelling.
Yep, yep.
The fourth wall disappears, so he was got to create a context. So we came up with the idea of setting it at Nuke's 70th birthday party,
mm-hmm.
so that the audience are guests.
Yes, yep, yep.
Kind of in the rumpus roomy sort of room,
yep.
Where the bar is. We have a bar on stage, and there's guests out by the pool. So we use sound effects, you know, the pool splashing and doorbells ringing, to bring guests in and out.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of direct them, you know, out by the pool or wherever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as each one arrives, it sparks stories. So, you know, when Ken Rosable arrives, that sparks a story. When Leighton Hewitt arrives and so on. Yeah, and it kind of, through that, it kind of meanders his way from the early stages of his career, sort of professional, well, not professional, he was an amateur, but it talks about the process of him changing from amateur to pro.
Yep.
As the whole world did in the early 1970s. Vanguard of it, so kind of, yeah, and charts through to all the kind of the end of his Davis Cup coaching days,
yeah, yeah,
with Tony Roach. So there's a fair bit to pack in. So I jump back, I tell the stories, but then jump back to those times. So you hear him completely ripping into Mark Philippoussis the grass courts at Mildura.
All encompassing.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. I like the departures, little side stories are good. It's an interesting one. It's certainly compared to my other shows, it's not just wall to wall laughs.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Some fun in it, and there's some
serious stuff
some
in there.
Fun
as well.
In his world, as far as we recreate all the old ads that he used to do.
Like yeah,
the Aeroguard ads and Cinzano and.
Oh man, I'd forgotten the Aeroguard stuff.
Yeah, so people, and it's interesting. The audience is obviously skewed a bit older.
Yep.
Shows, so they're all like very knowing, but there's always this divide, you know, with the people who don't remember.
Where from? Yeah.
The Vince and the people who really do just love it.
who've lived through it. I believe yeah. you've also played it in front of some of your family members as well.
Yeah, we did. Just the show was kind of reaching momentum just before we hit COVID in early 2020, and we performed up on the Northern Beaches at the Glen Street Theatre. And we'd already had a couple of family members kind of pop in when we did it in Melbourne. But Sydney's his kind of heartland. So, yeah, we had his wife, all his kids, all his sisters. In fact, the only member of the family who hasn't been is him.
Yeah, right.
And he's been very supportive. He wrote yeah. Kieran a letter congratulating him on the show, and Kieran interviewed him face-to-face many years ago.
It. Yeah, yeah.
So he's always been very supportive, but I kind of get it.
Like, yeah.
I don't know, it'd be weird sitting there watching someone play you and watching everyone watch you watch them.
Well, I know when Eddie Perfect did Shane Warne the musical,
yeah,
he was sneaking in under the cover of darkness to watch the show.
Yeah, right.
Because of that same fact of, you know, everyone knows who the story's about. So, I totally get it too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, Paul Keating apparently saw
Keating the musical
yep, many yep. times.
Yep, yep.
In fact, when they did the Belvoir season, I think he had his leg in plaster or something at the time, so they kind of created a little special balcony for him to watch it. So it's an interesting kind of ego that watches
something about yourself.
About yourself multiple times. And so I kind of respect that John's kind of going, no,
thanks.
Not doing it, but, yep. But not interested.
Yeah.
But the family gave it a great, you know, tick
supporting,
of approval.
Yeah.
It's not particularly controversial. It's not revealing anything that people don't already know. We don't even allude to anything really.
Yep.
So
keep it all pretty broad.
It's more
entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
Well, as you say, it is doing a bit of a tour around Victoria. So kicking off in Phil Holland at Cowes, then Port Ferry on the 23rd of February, 24th and 25th at the Lighthouse Theatre in Warrnambool, and then Traralgon and a few Melbourne dates as well.
Traralgon, Warragul, Birinya in Narrawarra, and then a couple of Melbourne dates at Altona Theatre and Moonee Ponds Clock Tower.
Beautiful.
And then I'll be hanging up the moustache forever.
doing the final run around the courts.
Yeah, I'm sick of bagging nails onto car courts, baggering and watering.
Well, from that, though, you have another show up your sleeve, and this is a hilarious concept, Unlikely Friends, and I've been loving reading on Facebook the various previews as they pop up.
Yeah, so Unlikely Friends began as just a podcast idea, and then I kind of like the idea of it being done in front of an audience to get that, you know, call and response, if you like.
Yep.
But the short version of it is that I host, and there are two guests, and each guest doesn't play themselves. They play historical characters, and they are from disparate worlds.
Very much so, yep.
It's almost temporally and sociologically impossible for them to have ever friends.
Yep, yep.
But the impossibility of this world, where it's like a quasi-immortal space where all famous people they can dwell across any timeline, that they're neither alive nor dead. They very much lived the life that they did live, but
at the same time they might have played mixed netball or
that Don Bradman and Fred Carlo had a mixed netball team,
yeah,
for sure. Or you know, Murray Curie and Winston Churchill lived in a share house,
yeah,
and he always forgot the bins. So it's really just an opportunity to put two comedians or improvisers, actors in a space where they can play, really. And the aim, too, is to not... We're not doing impersonation.
Yes, yeah.
No costume.
No, yep.
People just play it neutrally as themselves, which allows the opportunity for... Well, this is a good example. I asked Sammy Shah to do it, and he said, I'd love to do it. Please don't make me Gandhi.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that he said that, because it's exactly what I don't want it to be.
No, stereotype. Or, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going to pick you because you could do that voice. It's not yeah. that at all. Like, I'd much prefer that Sammy Shah played Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah. Kind of Clark and Dore-esque sort of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. That's straight down the line.
Yeah.
Again, Kirstie Webeck doesn't know this yet, but I'm probably going to make her be far lap. She loves animals. And
yes.
I just can't get that out of my head.
Yep.
It's a really interesting one because I can only prepare to a certain degree.
Yes, because of the improvisational, yeah.
Yeah, I have to obviously have a fair degree of knowledge on all the characters across the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
They'll only have to prepare their own and their mates. But it's, you know, they're really just going to know kind of Wikipedia level
yep.
knowledge just to be able to riff. If they fly too Enough. Close to the sun, yep. I'll move things away. And, of course, there's this delicious whole other world that we don't know about, you know. So that's the world that I'm kind of more interested in, which is obviously going to be funnier if they can bring elements of themselves into it. And there might be yep. times where I've gone, like, of course, you know, William Shakespeare, there was a character in Merchant of Venice which you wrote out. But it was originally inspired by Ben Chifley, the Australian Prime Minister from 1945 to 49. What was that character?
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And see where they can dig themselves to from there.
See what they can do. And they'll make holes for themselves. And, you know, there'll be highs and lows in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Some will be closer than others. Some of them might be... Maybe they've just haven't seen each other for a while because there's been a tiff. So, yeah, I'll be trying to find different ways to, you know, wear the same vest.
Bring all these characters to life.
Yeah.
And so that's running throughout the festival on the Saturday and Sunday at Comedy Republic?
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday arvos to maximise availability of performers.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, I've pretty much got it all... Well, not all locked in, but, yeah, some good guests. Tom Gleason's on board.
Yep.
Will Anderson, Claire Hooper... Rusty Bertha, Gil Cosgrove, Sam Shah's a pretty, Kirstie Webeck, some pretty fine people. A few improvisers, I'm trying to speak.
Yes.
To.
Yep, yep.
I'm just kind of interested over these first eight shows to see what different kinds of people bring to it.
And then, you're saying podcast idea, do you see it perhaps going into that realm further on?
Well, we'll record all of these.
Yes,
and they'll
yep.
be released as a podcast in the coming months,
mm-hmm.
and as we start planning the next season. And at the moment, I'm envisaging that's what it'll be. It'll just be
just encapsulated in that world,
you know.
Yep.
And it may bob up for one-offs at, you know, regional festivals, but yeah, we'll see.
Excellent. So a little bit like how you previously had the Roosters podcast that would pop in and out of festivals and things like that as well.
Yeah. Well, look. The Roosters podcast was defied a lot of the rules how podcasts should be released at a certain time. It was a little bit more rhythmic during the pandemic.
But, yes.
I managed to use the storyline to create a narrative that allowed me to, you know, perhaps
justify
have a
the means.
Gap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, no, these will release the season once they're all edited, so they'll come out, you know, weekly or fortnightly.
Yep.
Until I do another season.
Well, all those details for tickets are up on the Comedy Festival website and the Comedy Republic website as well for tickets. And as I say, I can't wait to see it. It sounds like it's going to be so, so good.
It will be fun.
But as always, Damien, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And looking forward to catching it at the Comedy Festival. Let you get back to some nuke and then unlikely friends.
All right, mate. Talk soon.